What up, world? Nah, man, I'm just chilling and shit. Hanging out with my home Skillet. What you been up to?
Really? What?
What are you talking about? Why are you responding to me? I'm trying to talk to the universe here.
Oh, well, I'm going to shut up.
Yeah, why don't you just shut up? Go all Kevin Malone on you. All right, folks, we are back. It's been a few weeks, but certifiable Total Recall, your favorite two individuals on the planet.
No, it's not.
We know two individuals. Well, would you think if there's only two people, we would be their two favorite people?
I would hope not.
I don't know, maybe Caesar.
We'll play Survivor. You get one group, I get the other group.
That voice that you're hearing, ladies and gentlemen, is Andrew Van, recording all the way down in South Kakalaki in Simpsonville, which is a suburb of Greenville, and I am in Bowling Green, Kentucky. But a couple of weeks ago, we were, for the first time in a year and a half, at the same place at the same time as I was able to visit the old digs down in South Carolina. But Christmas has come and gone. It is December the 28th, 2011. This is the final CTR of 2011. What a great first 7 months it has been, although it's been a little uneven recently because of the holidays and things like that, but we're getting back on our weekly schedule. I'm excited. I'm jacked up. We're going to do some awards today, give out some trophies. Well, not really, because we don't have a budget to go to a trophy store, but maybe we can give you a certificate to the Trophy Club, in which you can get yourself a nice lap dance or whatever it is that you might need from the stripper of your choosing. Andrew, how was your Christmas?
I do got some Trophy Club passes. You can give those out.
You do. That's why I said it.
They're still good. You can use them at Platinum Plus, too. Platinum Plus of Greenville, South Carolina. Special, the official spokesperson of the CTR.
No,
Rob Total Recall. What? Come on! They're hard workers.
Yes, they are, but I don't think we're established enough to use a strip club and actually still maintain a 50% audience share.
801 Frontage Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29607. Find them! The Platinum Plus. The finest gentleman's club around.
What? As opposed to what?
The Waffle House.
Oh, what a gentleman's club it is. All right, so back to conversation that won't make the mothers out there listening to us uncomfortable. How has your holiday been, Mr. Van?
It has been fantastic. As the big man here has just said himself, he did come and go recently, a couple weekends ago. Hope you were comfortable. Hope you had fun visiting some old people. And as we raided certain areas of Spartanburg and Greenville.
Certainly we did. Yeah, I was comfortable. Got my slumber on, kicking it in a sleeping bag. Had a nice little space heater in the room.
Busted out some old No Mercy.
Yeah, and retain my dominance in said video game. But yeah.
First off, you never took me on one-on-one.
No, I just took you and your roommate on at the same time. It defeated you both handily. And then when you ran into trouble in the campaign mode the next day, you brought me in and I polished things off and won you the championship.
Look, all I'm saying is Eddie Guerrero cheats. May he rest in peace.
He lies, he cheats, he steals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of Eddie Guerrero, did I show you that picture of China?
Yes, unfortunately you did, sir. Thank you so much for ruining my entire 2011.
She was just trying to make some money.
Yeah, She wouldn't have gotten any of mine, so why did I have to look at it? I wasn't getting paid to look at that picture. I like pig feet.
I like hog moth.
All right, but yeah, and, you know, we went to Mr. K's.
We did go to Mr. K's. We gave more business there I have in a while. I bought the Aristocrats. What up?
I bought Fight Club on Blu-ray.
You stole my sleeve?
Yes, I did.
You son of a bitch.
You told me I could.
I didn't think you were actually going to do it.
You should know me by now, player.
Good thing I got your disc one of Mask.
I know. What a wonderful Christmas gift that was. Mask, the old Mask, not the Jim Carrey cartoon series, but the old 1980s, not GoBots, not Transformers series that used to run, at least back in my hometown, on 48 WGGT at 5:30 p.m., right after the Rambo animated series, which I loved as a kid.
Mask.
Have you watched more of it?
Mobile Assault Strike.
K.
Yeah. Team.
Kings.
Knights.
No, certainly an original gift from you. That was the Andrew Christmas gift, Mask Season 1. on DVD, and if there's anything that signifies why CTR exists, it is a two-disc DVD set of the cartoon series Mask. And again, I remember, or I want you to recall, not the Mask, but M.A.S.K. And then I got you the Parks and Recreation book, which hopefully you are enjoying.
I am very much. I was actually still sitting on my coffee table because I flip through it every once in a while when I come home. By the way, I just remembered you should probably send a picture of your DVD box of Mask to Hillary Goldstein on Facebook or Twitter, since he, too, is a fan of Mask.
Very interesting.
I'm on my Mask! Because I remember he talked about it on an old Three Red Lights a long time ago.
Back when Three Red Lights was awesome.
It's all right.
Except when they got off topic for like an hour and a half. And
you mean kind of like us?
Yeah, but we're a pop culture randomness show. We're a stream of consciousness show. That show actually was supposed to have goals. We don't have goals. We need a role model.
No, we got no goals. We're like Seinfeld. We're the podcast about nothing.
So we hit Mr. K's. We hit, go ahead and name the sponsor, Andy. Richards Comics and Collectibles.
Something Lawrence Road.
Next to The Great Escape, the bike shop.
No, that's Borderlands. He's next. He's across from Palmetto Fine Foods on Lawrence Road.
Well, I meant like
I don't have his
he's
website.
He's next to that shopping center, though. Like he's pretty much right like in the same little area.
Just like a block over.
But we went there and we actually managed not to spend money, and that's not supposed to be a good thing. We wanted to spend money. We kind of almost treated it like a game. Who can get out of there without spending cash? At one point, I had three or four different things in my hand. There's just so much great stuff there. It's almost like sensory overload when you go in that store.
Well, we almost, too, ended up talking to Richard, but we did not because he was playing Skyrim on PC.
That is the greatest job on earth. Running that store and playing Skyrim and all the customers coming in, nobody having any problem with it, just asking him how his campaign's going.
Nope.
Amazing. And then we went to Spartanburg, and we went up to Woodruff, which is nowhere town, basically. Kind of up a little higher than Spartanburg. Apologies to all our Woodruff fans. And we went
don't
to
have
a
internet.
Restaurant. we're not going to be able to
Lies.
Do that joke. We're not going to be able to do that joke in a decade when they get cable down there.
When they get 56K modem?
Right. Well, actually, they actually have found their way to have DSL capabilities there now, surprisingly. But so we went to a restaurant that Andy had always seemed to believe was inspired by me. The restaurant's name is J Bones.
That's right.
J Bones is a... I don't know what kind of restaurant J Bones is because J Bones is shut down.
It is a 5-star cuisine, 4-course meal restaurant.
And 5 stars, we're talking about 5 gold stars, $1 a piece in packets from Walmart that would fall off of any sanitation grade. But yeah, it was shut down. I was afraid that the booths that were on the outside that I guess they didn't cover up that had been rained on for 6 months might actually give me rickets if I looked at them wrong. So
even
I tried to stay away.
Despite you actually like sitting around taking pictures on those same booths and platforms?
I don't know. On the platform, I laid down on the platform to take a snapshot with the West Side Death Row Records symbol polished off. And then, of course, it's not illegal because I think it was public property and they're gone. I don't think they're going to reopen. It says they're going to reopen in spring, but looking at what I saw, they got a lot of work to get that place back open. So I snagged a J Bones pecan pie sign, which resides in my trunk currently.
Still?
Yeah, what am I going to do with it?
I don't know.
That way I can always, every time I open the trunk around somebody, I can tell the great story of how we went there and laughed ourselves stupid because of just how terrible this establishment actually was.
Let me get something correct, though. We did not steal anything. It was someone else who may or may not have been part of the party when this all went down on unsaid day.
We're not going to name him right
now.
We'll just call him Adam Orton. I'm sorry, that might be too easy. We'll call him Adam J. Didn't want to give it away.
We both may not have our fingerprints on said quote-unquote sign. I am just trying to say, fuck you guys, I ain't going down with you.
I was not there. I laughed after the fact, but that was because I was not part of said criminal activity.
Well, supposedly J Bones is closed down for this winter because I believe their last day was mid-November, according to their Facebook. Yes, they have Facebook out in Roebuck, South Carolina. But I will say this, that as we were driving there, we were so hoping that they were maybe open that maybe we can try their world famous ribs
and rib bones
and pecan pie or peach cobbler. But we were shut down of that dream when, as we were driving there, or you were driving there, I read on yellowpages.com a review from, let me just get this out there, B. Dinky Boy on November 4th, 2011. The quote is, the subject line is, the food is terrible and the service is dot, dot, dot. And what he says is, B. Dinky Boy says, the food is terrible and the service is even worse, exclamation point. Way overpriced for what you actually get. Condiments, cups, etc. had Burger King logos on them?
King is across the street.
That told me a lot about the owner. Capital letters, beware.
Anyway, this is what's going to be awesome about this, is because we took some photos of me outside of my namesake's establishment.
Mm-hmm.
And those pictures are going to be available on Facebook, not just on my page, but on our official CTR page. And they're also going to be part of some tweet pics as well. So those pictures are going to be available as media, so you too can see what we saw. In particular, the advertisement sign for the rib bone sandwich.
Oh my God.
I don't know how much detail we can go in. I love creating word pictures via radio and podcast, but it would be very difficult to do this justice. So let's just say you're going to take this and you're eventually going to share this with all the people that you hate. I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else but you. J Bones, ladies and gentlemen, Roebuck. I swear I don't think that place ever opens again, but if it does, Andy, you must go there and actually order something, and not just a beverage.
I have some limits, okay? Even me, I eat almost anything on the menu. I would try anything. I would go anywhere. I even, for my quick 30-minute lunch in between work of the day, just only had time to go to McDonald's. I got 3 McDoubles, and I threw out the bread. I only ate the meat, which is quote-unquote real meat, 100% American beef, all beef patties. But even I have standards. So by the looks of how bad J-Bone's building was and the location of J-Bone's, I'm going to go with no.
I just want you to go one time and order one entree and maybe a side order of something so that you can report on whether or not said Yellow Pages review was accurate.
You know what I will do for you? I will do a fire in the hole.
And film it.
Yes. Because my roommate, your friend, Adam Jordan, he does have a little camera now for YouTubing. So we will do a fire in the hole just for you.
All right. Sounds good. All right, when we get to what's we'll talk about some of the other things we did. We saw a movie that I'm sure we're both going to want to talk about. So we'll get to that in one second. I did want to mention that the trip was just a great experience for me. It was good to see some of the old people that I used to work with, some of the people that I still know in my life, good friends. Got to speak to a couple of people on the phone that I wasn't able to actually get over and visit. But it was good to see everybody. And the best part was getting to meet you and your roommate's significant others, because yours, sir, is a fantastic woman in every sense of the word. Absolutely loved every second I was around her. She's smart. She's talented. She's beautiful. She's got it all. Much props to you. And I also want to give Adam, who's been on our show a couple times, your roommate, give him credit too, because the girl that he is with right now, I thought she was fantastic as well. She was unfortunately a little under the weather for a lot of the time I was there, but I was able to spend a little bit of time talking to her the first night that I got into town that Friday, and we had a lot in common, great conversation. Looks like she has a wonderful young daughter, and I thought both of those women were fantastic people, and that just was the icing on the cake of the trip to know that you guys have done incredibly well for yourselves, and I love getting to know them, and I'm glad to actually be able to call them friends now myself, even though I'm, 500 miles away.
We do what we can. We do what we can. Much kind words. Oh, much kind words. Kirsten did say that you wrote a nice letter saying that how much you enjoyed meeting her and spending time and getting to know her. And so that, sir, I do thank you for that. It made her feel very nice. It felt me feel very good and appreciated. And to know that, you know, you being one of my, if not the closest friend I have, just meant a lot to her. So, props to you.
Good. Good. And that, I wrote it because she needed to hear it, not because of anything else. But, I mean, I wanted her to know just how, you know, how great I really thought she was and how much I enjoyed getting to spend that little bit of time with her for that 4 or 5 days I was in Greenville. But I hope to be able to get back down there a little sooner this time. But, you know, a lot of things will have to work out in my favor to make that possible, but I'm glad we were able to do it. All right, so that's that. Any kind of cool gift, anything happened Christmas-wise from a pop culture perspective you wanted to mention before we get on to what's happening and talk about these movies?
I'll say, mention real quick, of the many gifts that I got from my wonderful said girlfriend, that my favorite gift of all, it was one of the coolest handmade things I ever gotten. She is an artist. She has a master's degree in art from Long Island University.
So she needs to do her logo.
She probably could, probably would. She's a very, very, very talented. And I showed her a couple weeks ago, a website, jameshance.com.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
Who does a lot of pop culture art that mixes stuff between Muppets, Firefly, Sesame Street, and He-Man, Winnie the Pooh, Star Wars, all that kind of stuff, infuses it together. And it's just kind of like your best childhoods mixed with just all kinds of cool pop culture stuff. One of my favorite being is the thing that he does, a series called Wookiee the Chew, which is basically Han Solo and Chewie in the Star Wars universe mixed with Winnie the Pooh. So instead of Winnie the Pooh, it's a little baby Wookiee that looks kind of like a similar Winnie the Pooh. And what's the kid's name in Winnie the Pooh?
Christopher Robin?
Christopher Robin is Han Solo.
Ah.
So the picture is basically her. You haven't seen it. I need to post it for you. But it's a black and white, you know, sketch that she did where basically Christopher Robin's putting on a boot, but he's dressed like Han Solo. And there's Chewie, who has like a crossbow in his hand, and it's really, really cute. And I really wanted it, and I'm probably gonna get some other stuff from jameshance.com, which you can get prints really for like $10. They're just incredible prints. But Kristen took the extra step, an extra mile, and she actually made her own replica drawing of one of my favorite pieces. And for that, I cannot be even more ecstatic about
it. Wow, that's awesome.
It really, really is.
That is quite awesome. I feel deprived because I do not own said piece of artwork.
Well, you got a hug from her. That was pretty good.
That is very true.
I will say that's pretty good, too.
Very true.
She should know that.
I had only even mentioned that there was really one thing at all for Christmas that would benefit me going forward. And it wasn't anything to where if I got it, it mattered. If I didn't get it, it mattered at all. But I did get it. And it is glorious, and it's everything that I have hoped it would be for the last 2 years when I started pining for it. And it was an iPod Classic, like one of the 160 gig models, because the main thing I really needed was space because of all the media content that I have. So I got that, and then surprisingly enough, and this was not based on anything from me, or it was just really odd, I opened my stocking, and for some reason, my father has bought me the Old Republic.
Nice.
I didn't mention this at all. I have no idea where he would have even heard of this before, but somehow I end up with that. So I got those two things, and that was fabulous for me. But as I said in a couple of the updates that I put on Christmas Day, this Christmas wasn't about the stuff. It was good to be able to spend time with my parents, who are both healthy, and sit down for a couple hours and play an old game of Scrabble Deluxe with them. We played a couple of games on Christmas night and had some fun with that. And then other than that, it was just quiet. I read a book, and that was good. And I was just able to just kind of enjoy what I believe Christmas was supposed to be about. The one thing that I was disappointed in was Christmas Eve. I was a little under the weather and was unable to make it to church, which I had really wanted to take part in this year, but I still was not feeling good. As you know, while I was there, I was in the process of getting sick. Well, on the way home, it hit full bull, and when I got to Nashville, I had to pull over and take a couple hours. Ended up going to see the girl with the dragon tattoo, which we'll talk about in a minute, but so I was a little sick, so I did not end up getting to go to the candlelight service on Christmas Eve. That was the one disappointing thing that happened, but It's been a blessed year for me in more ways than one, and this was a great way to finish it off. It was an excellent Christmas, first being able to see my closest friends in the world, and safely making the trip there, making the trip back, having a blast, and then getting back here and being able to refocus mentally and get ready for a new year, which hopefully will be the best year that we've ever had.
So that would be the topic at hand, is it not? Recapping the year?
Yeah. It's December the 28th. This is the last CTR of the year. So what we thought we would do is give out some awards. And we have some categories that you're going to find in a lot of other things. And I think you're going to see some categories you might not have. And that's what interests me the most is some of those. But before we do that, we're going to do a kind of an abbreviated what's happening and go over a couple of movies that we've seen. One that we got to see together that you and I and Kristen were able to go see while I was there. And then one that you saw that you kind of inadvertently convinced me to see. And then the one that I saw last week as well. So first off, how effing good was Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol?
I kind of went into it knowing it was going to be good, just the feeling and vibe I got from the trailers. But man, that's probably the most action-packed son-of-a-bitch movie I've seen in a long time.
It was so good. I mean, we both were have been excited about it for a while. It wasn't one that caught us off guard. I think that it really was. Action is the best way to describe it because the plot's kind of thin, and it doesn't matter. This thing is thrill, 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 and then Paula Patton. And then the blonde that's kind of an evil girl.
The one that got kicked out of the building?
That was a waste of a tremendous rack. My apologies to the female population, but was what it was. But yeah, it's a fabulous movie, fabulous acting all the way around, great directing, and Brad Bird, who's known, people weren't even sure he could do a live action movie. This proved he certainly could. So it was a great, great, great film all the way around. It made $29 million in its first week, which is not shabby at all for this time of year. It was number one at the box office, so I think that if you haven't seen that, you should definitely go out of your way to see Ghost Protocol. And I've already planned a space on my shelf for the Blu-ray. Because that one's going to be one I want to see again, without question, I would assume. You agree?
Oh, absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely.
Awesome. And then, of course, the Dark Knight Rises trailer with Hines Ward.
That bothered me a little bit. I'm like, is that Hines Ward?
And then I found out, yes, it was.
It didn't even occur to me. I was like, yeah, I knew they're filming in Pittsburgh, but really, they were going to put them in the movie? Roethlisberger and Ward? I was like, all right, I guess I can not think about that while watching this movie. Hopefully, it won't engross me too much.
What's more weird to me, more coincidentally ironic, is that the football team's name is the Gotham Rogues. That's been my fantasy football team name in at least 5 different leagues over the last 3 years. For the very reason that it's a Batman-related name that kind of makes sense. And the fact that that's actually the name of the football team, I'm thinking about demanding money. I'm really thinking about suing Chris. No, I can't even lie about it. I thought it was badass. I thought it was cool. So, you know, there it is. So Tom Hardy is also in The Dark Knight Rises. And I'd heard a lot of good stuff. I'd, you know, seen a lot of good reviews. It just didn't hook me. I didn't have any interest in seeing it. Then you saw it, and then the next day, the thing that a lot of people don't know about the two of us is, one of the things that made us really good friends early on is the things that we recommended to each other. Both of us are responsible for a lot of the other pop culture obsessions in the other person's life. And I could go through examples, but there's no real need to do that. But so when one of us gives a recommendation, the other one generally pays attention to it if time allows us to do so. So in this case, you watched a film Christmas night or the day after Christmas, and you made a comment about it on Facebook, and I immediately said, okay, that's the last straw. I'm going to watch this movie. So I will let you wax poetic about it first, and then I will piggyback.
Well, Christmas Day, I brought over my Xbox. Me and my brother, we played some Madden, and we watched actually The League on Netflix for a little bit. And then during the night, I just kind of said, you know, we should go and get a movie from Redbox. So we looked at what was out, and I really have been wanting to see Warrior. I really did. And why does his name escape me? The other main actor,
Joel Edgerton.
thank you, who bothered me when I first saw that movie, because I was like, where do I know this guy? And came to me while IMDb-ing, while watching the movie, that he was Uncle Owen in Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Just getting that out of the way, that's where I first knew him from. But I kind of was hoping it was a good movie from when I saw the trailers from, I think, August when it came out. But a lot of other things were out at that time, so unfortunately, my brother was kind of hesitant seeing until when we were at the Redbox and I IMDb'd it, and out of almost 30,000 votes, it was average of 8.3 out of 10, which is not shabby. And again, user votes are not always the best thing to use for critic reviews and kind of stuff or recommendations, i.e. the B Diddy boy from yellowpages.com on J-Bones. You know, that guy could have walked it on like a bad day. J-Bones may be world class for all I know if they ever open up again.
Maybe there was a death in the family.
And they went to Burger King?
And they went to J-Bones.
So, you know, we'll never know. Well, we may never know. But we go and get Warrior, bring it home. And I, from the minute the credits are rolling, I was hooked. Because you see Nick Nolte on screen. You see Joel, what was his name again?
Edgerton.
Tom Hardy, Jennifer Morrison. It's a really good cast. The biggest shocker to me while watching the movie was freaking seeing Kurt Angle. Really?
Yeah, for some reason I didn't know he was in it.
In my head, I was laughing and I was telling my brother, I was like, why the hell is he in this movie? He's like, well, what's the big deal? I was like, that's Kurt Angle. Like, he has nothing to do with UFC. Probably the least expected person I would see in this kind of movie. Because, I mean, it's a Redbox movie, but it's not a straight-to-Redbox movie like I'm seeing his stuff in lately. But really, it was okay. He didn't say anything. He was a quote-unquote Russian, like, elite UFC fighter. But whatever. I really admired the storytelling. I admired the depth of characters in the movie between the two brothers and the Nick Nolte character, which you don't really get, like, why Joel's character was really angry with him. You don't really get that whole background story. You just kind of figure that he was a drunk. Maybe he did something at some point to him and his family, but you don't actually get to see in a flashback or hear what he actually did. Hardy's character was really tough and hard. I like that. And it kind of made me really, really excited to be like, man, okay, now I can see this guy in an action movie. I really want to see him as Bane now.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with that. That certainly sold it for me, and I really liked Tom Hardy anyway. He was great in a lot of stuff, and then obviously burst on the scene to a lot of people with Inception, but he was excellent in this film, as was Edgerton. I thought both of them were fabulous, and Nick Nolte played his role well. A couple of quick things that I noticed was how similar Warrior was in a lot of ways to FX's failed show Lights Out. Mm-hmm. With Nick Nolte, if you replace that with Stacey Keach, and if you replace Lights Leary with, I would say, kind of a mix between Tom Hardy's character and Joel Edgerton's character in Warrior.
Right.
I liked a lot of things about it. When it first started, I thought I had a defective copy, and I kept pausing it because it was so grainy. And I'm like, this is a Blu-ray. This is supposed to look good. And then I figured it out. Every time Hardy was on screen with his father in the first half of the film, it was shot to look horrible. And then when you saw Edgerton with his family, with Jennifer Morrison, or in class with his students, it was picture-perfect crystal clear. And then by the end of the film, it was crystal clear even when Hardy was on the screen. And it was an interesting decision. I haven't read anything about it, but I assume it was intentional. And it was something that I picked up on after I literally went through all these Blu-ray settings on my player to make sure I had everything right, because it just didn't look good at all. And then I realized, okay, there's some kind of aesthetic treatment to this film that's intentionally being done to prove a point. The other thing was, one of my two favorite albums of 2010 was High Violet by The National, who have long been one of my favorite bands. They did the song that opened Warrior and the song that closed it. It was unbelievable. I would never have expected to hear The National in Warrior. You add that to the Beethoven that they kind of remixed to turn it into a training regimen, and some of the other instrumental stuff that was done. Music was great. Cinematography was great. Wasn't too long, but wasn't too short. It felt like I watched a full breadth of experience, and I got through it, and I was just glad that I had seen your post, because I couldn't agree more with your sentiments. I thought it was a fantastic way to spend a couple of hours.
I thought the way they did the scenes where they were both training separately was shot really well, with kind of that 24S kind of like little tiles on the screen.
Yeah.
Showing different times that they were doing things. What really got to me was, and I had similar thoughts when I first watched the one with Jet Li years ago where he faced off against himself. Super cheesy movie, but on a different plane. It's smart how each one of the characters in the Warrior does the same thing, where each of the protagonists, and they're both really kind of protagonists in each one of their senses. They're both underdogs coming from, you know, grounds, except that Hardy's character is a little more darker. He's a little more negative sense balance. But when you find out what he's fighting for, it incredibly turns that whole character around for you from just a relatable standpoint. But what's great about them is Hardy's got that Brock Lesnar-ish style. He comes out, he brawls with you, he'll try to knock you down in two punches and just lights out. And I love that every time he won the fight, he didn't stick around, didn't gloat, he just walked straight the fuck out. I thought one of the great moments with the quotes in that movie was when the commentator was like, he just walked away like he just ran away from a murder scene.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. And I love Edgler's, his style, that Royce Gracie, that more technical, you know, Ken Shamrock, you got that, you know, technical, you know, reversals and throws and just makes you tap out. I mean, that last fight scene was incredible, too, because you're sitting there praying that this doesn't end the way Hardy's previous fights did in the movie. But I think two of their collisions, the finale was great. The one thing that really bothered me was, what the hell did Nick Nolte do in the end? He, like, drove away from the stadium and then he came back, but, like, that was it.
I think he just gave them their moment, but you saw him smile at the end because his two sons had
beaten the shit out of each other on national TV.
Yeah, but then they were, or cable. It looks like they had gotten it out. They'd gotten out the problem that they had, and they were a family. And then one of the best moment in the whole movie to me, without trying to spoil anything, I'm going to say this Morrison's as vague dad. As possible. Oh, God, that was, oh, my God, it's wonderful. But, all right, the other best scene was Tom Hardy and Nick Nolte in the hotel room.
Oh, when he started drinking again?
Yeah, I don't want to go into any more detail because I want people to see the film, but it was so well done, and not just Nolte, but the way Tom Hardy changed, the actor himself changes on screen from one persona to another persona in a completely different light, all in the midst of like a 30 to 40 second span. It was right. Beautifully shot, and it was a really emotional, well-executed scene.
There's a lot of emotions for both characters that you kind of feel as you're watching. Because one, you got Hardy, who's kind of the dark warhorse. You see his past kind of rise up and haunt him a little bit, and the promise that he's trying to keep. And then you got Edgeledger's character, who is a retired UFC fighter, who was kind of like the Mike Golick of UFC, who's kind of mediocre, so people knew him. He retired, so he became a physics teacher in a high school. That was a really bad comparison, but it works. But it's really awesome to see when he got suspended that he had so much support around him, from his students to his faculty members to eventually his wife, his family. It was really great. And is kind of, I would say almost in a sense, to me, I would say the characters in that movie had a little bit more quality about them than I would say Rocky.
Oh, well,
Rocky's still going to be a classic. Rocky, because War is not as cheesy as Rocky. Because, like, Rocky, you know, watching Rocky that he's going to win. When you're watching this movie, you kind of are like, and my brother put it the best when he's like, who the hell's going to win? Because, like, I don't know, like, if I don't want either one of them to lose.
I thought they might not fight. I thought there was a possibility that they would pull the old Skyscrapers 1989 Great American Bash thing where Teddy Long gets in the ring and says, you think my two guys are going to sit here and kill each other? No, we're going to split the money and go home and have some breakfast. And that was the whole deal or whatever. But I guess when you really think back on it, those two guys had some issues that they needed to take care of. And they got them out of the way. And in the end, Brendan had to make the decision how he was going to handle his injured brother in the end. And, you know, what happened. Again, I don't want to give the result of it away, but it was just, it was well done, and the very ending was cool too, because it was left to the imagination. They didn't really give you a closed thought.
Right.
They gave you the story that any viewer would have seen that was watching the Sparta fighting tournament, and then that was all she wrote. And then it goes to the credits, and then you are left to wonder what happened next.
Here's what I'll say last on this before we move on. I generally thought that that kind of tournament could have been like a real thing to me because it reminded me a lot of the first UFC show on Spike TV, the reality show where Forrest Griffin came out with Stephen Ray, and they both fought in the tournament. So much hype was going into it because it was the first UFC reality show. Plus, the two guys going into it, they were both like just big, you know, fan favorites going into it, and it was just no way either one of them could really lose per se. And it was proven when basically they had like a 3-round fight drawn out. It was basically really close where Forrest Griffin did win by points, but then Dana White came out, raised both their hands, and was like, "You know what? You're both getting contracts."
It was Bonner. And you're talking about Bonner, right?
Stephen Bonner. I apologize. And I thought to myself, I was like, that's why I kind of thought maybe what happened in this movie. Because you think about it from a standpoint, if this was a real circumstances where you got the one war hero going into it and everyone was going crazy about him and, you know, was making the signs, cheering for him, and he couldn't give a fuck less. He had that like face of like, I'm going to kill whoever's in front of me. He did not give a rat's ass into any interviews. And then you had the other guy who was like another fan favorite, you know, the common man.
The also-ran underdog.
Exactly. The guy who is the family man, who is the most relatable to most people. You know, he's fighting for his family, fighting for his house. He's coming out of nowhere. You know, he's the guy that no one gave a chance to. So really, you can, to me, like, I love seeing that kind of thing. I like seeing it in boxing. I like seeing it in all kinds of sports events. Just whatever. Just humble guys going into it, fighting for a purpose, not just dicks. So
yeah, well, if you find out they're brothers, I can tell you what would have happened in real life. They'd have been on the front of every sports magazine.
Oh, absolutely.
On the globe. It would have been the story of the year. Like, it would have transcended sports in a lot of ways. But this film is really well done. Mm-hmm. From start to finish. Like, this is not just some sports movie that's trying to capitalize on you. Not at all. It's just really just, I can't say enough good things about it. I was thoroughly impressed. And then all of a sudden I realized, okay, so this is why critics really like this movie. Mm-hmm. It really was. There were times when I felt like I was watching something similar to The Wrestler. Mm-hmm. I kind of at times thought Nick Nolte's character reminded me a little of Randy the Ram.
Oh, God.
But if Randy the Ram wasn't a wrestler, if he was just like a drunk wearing old red fox hats. So there's your segue. Last week on the way home from that place that I was at, Greenville, when I was sick, I've been excited for a long time to see the David Fincher treatment of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo with Daniel Craig and Rooney Mara. So I was able to stop in and see that. Even though I had a pounding headache and one of my ears was basically closed shut to where I couldn't hear anything.
Sorry, took a pounding.
Yeah. Great film. Don't want to say too much because it's certainly still out in theaters, and you guys should absolutely go and see it. I have now watched, when I got home, something I had not done yet was watch the Swedish films, and now I've watched the first one. I'm going to sit down over the next couple of days and watch The Girl Who Played with Fire and The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, the other two. Now that I've finished reading the books, I was finally able to sit down and read The Hornet's Nest, which I read basically in one sitting yesterday. So I've finished the entire Millennium Trilogy, which was supposed to be around 9 or 10 books, but Stieg Larsson died in 2004. And then they discovered the three manuscripts that became the three books. And what I will say about the three books that you may not know is the first book is kind of a crime thriller in the mold of a Seven or something to that effect, which makes it perfect that Fincher is directing it. The likelihood that he's going to direct all three is good. The casting choices are going to be interesting for some of the characters that haven't existed, but it looks like Craig and Mara are going to stick around. Girl Who Played with Fire is kind of a character study of some very interesting characters with a ton of depth. And then, of course, there's some ultra violence in it. And then the third book, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, is basically a political thriller that basically continues from the word that ends The Girl Who Played with Fire. And it continues through. So he writes three different genres to make up this big, huge crime story. And it is one of the great reading experiences I've had in a long time. Harry Potter remains my favorite series, but this is right on the doorstep. Loved it. So if you get a chance, if you have the time, you should definitely try and read Larsson's books. A lot of depth. There's a lot of stuff about Swedish culture in there, but he does a good job of putting footnotes in to kind of let you know where his references are coming from and things like that. The thing about the film is, Rooney Mara was unbelievably great. And Noomi Rapace, who, by the way, turned 32 today. Her birthday is today. She was the original Lisbeth Salander from the Swedish film. Rooney Mara, it's amazing because she is a beautiful, beautiful woman. And I had almost completely forgotten that she was in The Social Network.
Thank you. I was going to say the same thing. Zuckerberg's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, in the very beginning, in the in the great breakup scene that Sorkin wrote to perfection. That's Rooney Mara, the same Rooney Mara that you've seen as this kind of hard to look at Lisbeth Salander that David Fincher's created for with the girl with the dragon tattoo. But I can honestly tell you that her performance was magnifying. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And Noomi's is unbelievable in the original as well. So they've made two good choices in those casting things. They had to change a few things from the book, and there were two omissions that I was very disappointed in. But the film was 2 hours and 40 minutes long. So they had to do something. It's a long book. There's a lot of depth to the book. So I think Fincher did as good a job as you could possibly want to see. The film didn't exactly do that wonderful at the box office yet, but it was a midweek release, so kind of had to temper expectations to some extent. But it made decent money. It was third place in the box office. It's probably going to get a lot of Oscar love, and deservedly so. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross killed it with the score. Got my hard copy of that in yesterday. That I pre-ordered a couple of weeks ago. It's one of the box art's unbelievable. But so definitely you should watch that. So that's kind of what's been going on. And now, and we don't have music to do this, but it's time for the end of year CTR Awards Extravaganza.
That was nice. We should keep that.
I guess we will keep that.
All right.
If we don't do that, though, just be like a dead silence. You know, like this one. Three. Silence. Silence!
All I'm doing is just scalding you. That's all I'm doing. You can't see it, though.
Well, that kind of sucks because people don't know what you're doing either. Now they do. Now they're laughing at me.
Oh, I'm scalding.
All right, so we've got several categories. Do we want to go with the big boys first, or do we want to go bottom to top here?
What in the hell is a big boy?
The big.
Aside from the burger.
Best film, best TV shows. Do we want to go with the top stuff first, or do we want to go from bottom to top so we get to the big stuff at the end?
We need a cool voiceover like the MTV Movie Awards, like best film.
Biggest shame. Well, why don't
biggest
you, why don't
cock
you
and balls. What's happening? Oh wait, we did that. Oh, okay, we did that. Let's just do this. Let's go from bottom to top. I like the way you got this range here. So biggest shame.
All right, here's how we're gonna do this. We each have we have to tell the other, but we both have an opportunity to pick two answers in two of these categories, because one of the things that's gonna be difficult about this for me, and Andy can definitely attest to this, is I like a hell of a lot of stuff, and I have a hard time narrowing down what my favorite is, but I can only twice name two things. Everything else has to be one answer and out. So that's going to be interesting for a lot of people that know me and have heard me wax poetic about 60 different shows. I can only name one. Actually, I think we'll do one comedy and one drama. But biggest shame, and we're going to alternate who says the first answer. That way we both have original material in case there's any kind of similar answers that pop through. Biggest shame, who's going first here?
I already got mine ready if you just want me to start it off.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to go with Sandusky. I mean, I can't. I'm not trying to make that funny, but come on, that name alone is forever tarnished Penn State. You think of Sandusky, you think of Penn State, you think of that shame that's brought upon that entire program. That is just god awful. You got one of the most the longest tenured coach ever, just in hiding. You have his assistant coach who's pretty much gotten, I don't know how many death threats, and is locked away in, you know, custody. Not custody, but it's a witness protection.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of the most bizarre, and I didn't want to say intriguing. It's not intriguing. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's hard really. To do it. And now
stories,
I can't.
I've heard. I don't want to like top anything, but it's just like that's just shame altogether. You hear Sandusky? Anyone who even shares the name Sandusky, I feel bad for them.
That may come up in another category for me later on. Actually, it will. I have it written down. But
best video game?
I certainly hope not. shower turn on is not a game I'm interested in playing.
Oh, the mini game.
I was going to say the one thing I can always, I'll always associate with Penn State from now on is Bob Costas. Because the interview he did on Rock Center with Brian Williams should earn him an Emmy. If it doesn't, it should earn him one of the most simultaneously painful to listen to and brilliant pieces of investigative journalism I've ever seen. Costas proved once again just how damn good he is with that interview. So it's kind of sad because that's your biggest shame. That really puts aspersions on mine, which is Community's ratings.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
It's like Penn State TV shows poor ratings. Here's the good news. Community's ratings have sucked bad. That's not the good news. The good news is this. TV Guide picked Community as the funniest show on TV, put it on the cover of their 2011 retrospective issue and talking about how great the Christmas episode was going to be a week before it started. And they were right, and not just because of Allison Brie, but that damn sure didn't hurt.
Or the, oh man, why did I just forget her name? Jillian Jacobs' skin-tight outfit on stage?
Correct.
Good Lord.
But all of a sudden, TV by the Numbers, which is my go-to site, usually go there every day. It's a great site, TVbythenumbers.com. They have moved Community into their likely to be renewed category. This show was dead, and now, and TV by the Numbers is almost always right. They are pretty consistently on the numbers. And for them to say that it's likely to be renewed, and I've seen that echoed in some other publications over the last couple of days, looks like Community may actually get a fourth season, which I did not think was possible a couple of months ago. But the reason it's a biggest shame is there are a lot of people that have no clue what Community is about, and they're missing out on one of the most original, unique, and well-put-together pieces of pop culture material that we've ever seen.
Remind me to give props out to Rob Bailey, one of my coworkers at one of my jobs. He has started watching Community over the past month. Every time I bump into him, he talks about how much he loves that show and how correct we were in recommending that. Also, earlier said roommate Adam Prentice Jordan is actually currently, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, watching Community. He's been watching for the past 2 weeks.
That's good stuff. He's been watching The Big Bang Theory, which is good too.
Definitely do this too. If you get a chance, anybody who's listening, to get the Community DVD seasons 1 and 2, even if they're $20 or $20, you know,
they're on sale
$20,
this week, well, for $14.99 at Best Buy. Both seasons.
Get them, because one big thing that I love about the DVD, okay, with any DVD, I love outtakes. Their outtakes on Community is one of the best I've ever seen, because it shows the brilliance in not only the writing, but the talent in the actors, because a lot of times people, you don't really get to see this, but what we were talking about this when we watched Horrible Bosses together recently, is what makes really good chemistry and really good performances on camera is improv-ing. Just coming up with shit, top of your head, having fun, letting shit roll off the tongue, and just letting the camera fly. And a lot of times with Community, that's what you get. And it's really amazing to see the stuff that they didn't even have time or give the chance to go on air. But the stuff that you get to see on the DVD's extras is freaking hilarious.
Particularly the stuff with Donald Glover and Danny Pudi.
Mm-hmm.
The Batman stuff, for example. I finally got to see the season 2 outtakes in a couple weeks. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, that show is, it's a monument to what's right about pop culture, written by a guy who's obsessive, who they've said is hard to work with, who admits that he's a depressive, who wrote the show originally with himself as Jeff Winger, Mikhail's character, and then realized that he was Abed, that the only way that he could communicate with people, have real social interactions, was through pop culture references. And that's kind of why he designed Abed, who some have said have Asperger's syndrome and things like that. But it's a fascinating thing. If you ever get to read about Dan Harmon, see interviews from him, that he did an interview in Wired a few months ago that was really good, you definitely do that. Dan Harmon is a fascinating, fascinating individual who has a lot of things to say about how stories are written and how they should always be written in terms of what things should always exist in the right story. So Community's ratings is a shame to me, just because that show in a perfect world would be one of the top three Nielsen rated shows every week. So
I think Abed's character is going to go down in history as one of the best characters not seen, because there's so much greatness about his character, just the way he delivers his lines, the way his performances on camera is ridiculous. And
who else would be in that category, by the way? Not a comedian, but just who else? Like Ty from Fresh Prince?
Hey, he had 5 good episodes.
Exactly.
But the big thing about Abed is they use the Asperger things really subtly. Not the way he does it, but mentioning it, because I'll say this. I watched the first 4 episodes of Glee this season, and Vanessa Lingis from Waiting and American Dream, the TV show a couple years ago with Brittany Snow, is on it this season. She also plays a character with Asperger's, but it's way more annoying, and it's way more unbelievable. And I mean unbelievable, like bad unbelievable, like you're just a terrible actress, unbelievable. Because she says things off the top of her head, supposedly in the show, and then she excuses by saying, I'm sorry, Asperger's. I'm like, no. That is just stupid.
Cheap and lame?
Huh? Yes, exactly. Cheap and lame.
Yeah, the thing about Abed's Asperger's is they don't ever tell you. It just kind of happens, and if you understand what the syndrome is, you realize he certainly could potentially suffer from it.
I think it's 1 or 2 times they've ever said it on screen. I think it was Jeff when he, like, ranted and, like belligerent Abed on screen and then apologized for it later.
Yeah, you're right. I did. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I had forgotten they had actually mentioned it, but they don't mention it in where they ever come back to it or anything. It's not a crutch. It's just who Abed is.
Pretty much.
And Danny Pudi pulls it off so well. So that's why it's a big shame to me. I'm going to skip the next one on the list.
Okay.
Because I think we should do that at the very end. But Renewed Faith.
Renewed Faith.
The nominees are... All right, Renewed Faith is a category, basically is somebody whose career has come back from the dead, or a franchise that we thought was dead that is back. And what's funny is we didn't really discuss our own answers, but when we were doing the planning phases of this, you mentioned what you might think of for this, and I had it written down as one of my 2 choices. So I'm going to go with the other one of my 2 choices to leave that one for you.